All right. At this point, does anyone not have a sheet that we were handing out? Okay, good. We'll get to that in a moment. I want to remind you that much of what I'm saying today is based on this book called Love and Respect. This is a book that my wife gave to me and said she wanted me to read. That's not true. That's really not true. She's been very concerned through this whole series, the last couple certain lessons. She said, well, now, is there something you're teaching on that I need to do? And I said, well, just get online and watch. You'll be okay. But again, this is a guy named Dr. Emerson Eggerichs, I guess is his name. And so much of this is not from me. It's from him, and I want to give him credit for that. And if you don't like something I say, you can blame him, too. So that'll be good. There are thousands of books today, and I've just showed you one, but there are thousands of books written on marriage, how to have a happy home, how to have the kind of marriage that you ought to have. Unfortunately, most of those are written by secular people, and they give secular and philosophical ways to stay married and to have a happy marriage. And the answer really for any marriage is found right here in this word, in the book, because this is God's word. This is not a person's opinion. It's not what I think or you think, but it's what does God say. And all throughout the word, there's great guidance. The passage we're looking at today is in Ephesians 5:33. And again, we started here a couple weeks ago. I'm going to quickly review and then move ahead because I've got so much to cover this morning. But we find clear guidance here for husbands and wives, really in one verse. Hey, I'll be honest with you. If you will conquer this verse, if you will do what this verse says, you will have a wonderful marriage. You really will. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, and it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, talking to the men, the husband, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we see the principle stated here in this verse. Very simply, in this passage, husbands, you are told three times to do what? Let's try that again. In this passage, men, three times you are told to... Wow. Women, we need to pray for you. I tell you what. There you are commanded. You say, well, you know, Gary, I will love her if... Oh, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Women in this passage, wives are commanded to do what? Women? Respect or reverence your husband. The same word is used in 1 Peter 3:2, and I'm going to get to that here in just a minute. But there we see the principle stated. Let me explain it just a little bit. For the husband, it's very clear. What does God want from you for your wife? He wants unconditional, agape, sacrificial love. That's what God wants. God wants you, gentlemen, you say, well, Gary, if my wife would just, then I would love her. Mm-mm. No, it is unconditional. You put something in there like that, folks, and we're in trouble. No matter how they act, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how they look, your command, husband, is to love the wife. People come to me and they say, well, I just don't love my wife anymore. Wait, you don't have a choice. Now, I know what they mean, but we're commanded to do it. If you say you don't do it, then you're living in disobedience. Now, women, it's a little tougher in this passage for us to understand what it means to reverence, and you did well because we talked about this word respect, and I know many of you have got that album back out. You've been playing it, of Aretha Franklin, over the last several weeks. But it's interesting, this word is found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2, and here in 5:33, the Greek word is phobias. Now you know that word, don't you? Because some of you have, you're scared of heights, or you're scared of tight places. If you're scared of tight places, you have what? Claustrophobia, there's the word. And so really, this idea is the word fear. And that's where we get the idea of reverence and respect. Okay? Now, again, really, we could just kind of camp right here and say, guys, if you'll do that, women, if you'll do that, you'll have it covered. Now, the difficulty I have with that is, what does it look like for a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church? What does it practically look like for a wife to respect and reverence her husband? And so that's what we want to cover this morning. And what the author did is, and we're going to talk to the men first, and he took the word couple, and he gave us six words. And we want, as you look at your outline there, I've given you the first letter of each word, and I want you to fill this in as we go along. Let's see. This is pretty easy, the first one. In Genesis 2:24, it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh." Cleave means to cling to hold to keep close. So what's the word we're looking for in the first one? Well, cleave doesn't start with a C, does it? The word we're looking for is closeness. And some of you said that, closeness. All right, good. Okay. Good, we're all for one. The Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 4 says, "I found him whom my soul loveth, I held him and would not let him go." And I want to encourage you men who are married, who have wives. I don't know that it means a whole lot to me to hold my wife's hand or to put my arm around my wife in church. Typically, when I sit down, I like lots of room. My wife wants to be close to me. Men and women are, by the way, we'll talk about this all through the lesson, and this may be a shock to you. Men and women are different. And this is probably one of the ways. I am a tad claustrophobic. I was talking to folks yesterday about submarines thinking, man, to live in a submarine, I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I'm claustrophobic. I like space. But I tell you what, men, here's something that will help your marriage a bunch. Just hold your wife's hand. Now, if you haven't done it for 5 or 6 years, you might want to have her sit down first so she doesn't faint. Just put your arm around your wife. You said, but it's church. Well, that's okay. I'm not telling you to make out in church. I'm just saying, be close to her. I'm not going to ask you, men, when was the last time you planned a date night for you and your wife? Some of you women are saying, what's that? I tell you, folks, men, we need to make it a priority to spend time and to be close to our spouses. Okay? That wasn't too bad, was it? Okay, let's move to the next one. Number two. Starts with an O. It's in the verse here. The Song of Solomon, again, 5:2. "It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled." And the word is? Openness. Closeness. Secondly, openness. Now, let me just be real honest with you. When I come home from work on a Tuesday, my wife said, "What did you do today?" I say, "Well, the typical Tuesday stuff." That's not what she wants to hear. She wants to hear what I did at 10 o'clock, and what I did at 11 o'clock, and what I did at 12 o'clock, and what I did at 1 o'clock. And the worst thing I can do is come home and plop down on the couch and take a nap in the afternoon. I take one when I'm home for lunch, but she's usually not there, so I can get away with that. But she wants to talk about what happened today. She wants all the nitty-gritty details. And so I cleaned out the choir loft, which I do every Tuesday. I don't have that. And then I, worked on music a little bit, and then I did this, and I did this, and I talked to Pastor about this, and we did this, and this is. And I'm really working on, when I come home, she's typically in the kitchen getting supper ready, to sit down at the kitchen table and just say, "Hey, how was your day? What's going on? Here's what I did today." Because it's closeness, it's just spending time with her and being open about what's going on in our lives. Again, I mentioned communication early on. Men, we need to push ourselves to communicate with our wives. We really do. They want to talk. They want you to talk. And so we need to have openness in our marriage. Thirdly, and this one is also, it's not in the verse, you may be able to get it. Let me read you 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Starts with a you. What might it be? The next letter is N, and then D. How about understanding? Understanding. Isn't that interesting? It never tells a wife that you need to try to understand your husband. You need to figure him out. But it tells the husband, you need to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. You need to learn about her, giving honor. And by the way, again, that word honor is to show that she is precious. It can be translated money. It means worth. You ought to study your wife to see what she likes so that you can do the things she likes that you show that she is worthwhile and precious to you. Let me give you an illustration. My wife does not like red roses. If I buy flowers for my wife, she likes peach roses. And if I buy red roses, she'll say, oh, that's very nice, and I really like those. But if I buy a different color like peach or something like that or some off color, she'll say, wow, those are beautiful. Now, it only took me 32 years to figure that out. But that's a simple thing. But listen to your wife and find out what pleases her. Pray with her about the things that trouble her. Understand what's going on in her life. My wife has been going through a great trial with her mom and really going through some struggles. You know the greatest thing I've done this time for my wife? Well, one, I've talked to her about it. But we pray together about her mom. And almost every time I do, you know what she says? Thank you for praying for my mom. Now, I don't have any greater connection to heaven than she does. In fact, she may have a greater connection to heaven than I do. But it just means a lot to her when I understand what her needs are and try to meet those needs. Study your wife. Now, by the way, it doesn't say to totally understand your wife. It says do your best. Try. You know, learn as much about her as you can. By the way, isn't that what you did when you were dating? You found out where she liked to eat, what she liked to do, and you did it. Now, 33 years later, you still know what she liked, but you don't care anymore. We're doing it what I want to do. No, that's not sacrificial love. Okay? So understanding. Let me give you the fourth one. And that is being and all these have INGs, or at least the last one did, peacemaking or being a peacemaker. Being a peacemaker in the home. You know, simple matter of fact is, if you have two people, you're going to have two opinions. If you have three people, you have three opinions, okay? You just multiply it. There are going to be times in the marriage when you don't agree with each other. There are going to be times when somebody gets mad at somebody else. And I want to encourage you men to be a man. And when there's a conflict, to try to fix it. You say, wait a minute, it wasn't my fault. Well, you just go on like that and see how it feels to be divorced. Okay? Let me ask you, what does it hurt you? And this is true of any relationship. How does it hurt you when there's a conflict, whether it's your fault or not, to go and to say, man, I'm so sorry. If I have offended you, man, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry that I offended you. Now, you may not understand why you did or didn't, but if there's a conflict, you ought to try to fix it. You ought to try to fix it. You ought to be the peacemaker. Y'all looking like, what? What you talking about? Now, by the way, when men have trouble, say, Todd, welcome to the front row. We get into a fight. Todd's the bigger of the two of us, and he comes and says, hey, Gary, man, I'm really sorry about this thing, you know. And what do men do? Hey, no big deal, man, don't worry about it. Now, what do women do? They want to talk about it. Well, I am so glad you said that. Let's sit here and let's talk about what happened and why it happened and how we're going to fix this in the future and what we can do. And see how we're so different? Men just say, don't worry about it. Women want to talk about it. They want to figure out what happened, why, and how we're going to fix it. And men, if you're going to have peace, guess what? You're going to have to do the same thing. Sit down. Because When I get mad, I get quiet. If you ever come to my house and I'm going around, I probably won't say anything. And that's part of the problem. Because if you don't say anything, you don't fix the problem. Talk it out. Be a man. Talk it out. Go to her and say, look, man, I'm sorry about this thing. She wants to talk about it. And by the way, when you talk about it, do you do it? All right, let's talk about it. Right? You won't leave me alone. We're going to talk about it. We'll get it straight. No. A soft answer turneth away wrath. And you go to her and you keep it soft. Anytime you're trying to solve a problem and it gets loud, well, you're making the problem worse at that point. But you know what I find we often do in our homes? We don't deal with the little problems. We just let them go on. And they get bigger and bigger and they fester. It's like a splinter. You get a splinter and your finger gets infected and you don't do anything about it. And your finger gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you don't think about it, pretty soon it affects your arm and pretty soon it can affect your whole body. And I think that's what we do in our marriages. There's something little. And we let it just stay there. And it just bugs us. And every time we see him, we just think, and it just gets worse and worse. And pretty soon we just. And it may have been such a little thing. He didn't pick up his socks. I tell him every day, pick up your socks. He didn't pick up his socks. This is the fourth day in a row he has not picked up his socks. Well, in the long scheme of things, as a man speaking, how important really is that, you know? In Matthew 5:9, it said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. You know what? Wouldn't it be great in every marriage if every man would say, you know what? I'm going to swallow my pride, and I'm going to make sure our relationship is right. I'm going to make sure it's right. I'm going to fix it. We're going to talk it out. We're going to fix it. We're going to get this thing taken care of. Being a peacemaker. Number five. In Malachi 2:14, it says, yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between the wife of thy youth, listen, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. It says, and that word means to deal deceitfully, unfaithfully, or to be offensive. And the word here that we need, men, is loyalty. Loyalty. You should never give your wife any cause to think that you're not faithful. Never should. One of those, by the way, is what you look at, right? Now, again, I mentioned early on, I know it's a shock to you, but men and women are different. Men are motivated by what they see. They're very sight-oriented. Okay? Women are not. Women are more touch-oriented. And man, when you're going down the street with your wife or driving down the street and there's an attractive woman walking by and you go, what does that tell your wife? You be careful what you watch on TV. Be careful what you do. You don't want to give your wife... Look, in my marriage, I do not want to give my wife any cause to think that I'm not being loyal. I don't want it. Don't want it. By how I interact with other women. By spending time with other women. I think one of the curses on America is when women have gone into the workplace and they're with men and they go out to eat together for lunch and she always looks so good and she says, oh, you are a great worker and all this stuff. And they spend time together and that is so dangerous, so dangerous, so dangerous. And we need to be careful. I don't go out to eat lunch with anybody, any women, except my wife. I guess my daughter sometimes goes to, you know. We've got to be so careful. And I hallelujah, man, never joke about getting divorced from your wife. That word ought to never come in the conversation. Your wife should never say, well, I just wonder if he's with somebody else. Or I wonder, you know, he's not been very affectionate to me or whatever. I just wonder what's going on. Or, you know, I've seen him. Somebody comes in lunch. Something funny. I told you this. All right. I got to move. I'll never get done. I was at Lifeway a couple months ago. And there was a girl in front of me. I think there were two or three teenage girls, and they were a dollar short. And one, I think they were sisters, said to the other one, go find mom and get a dollar. Well, to be honest with you, I really wasn't that nice. I just was in a hurry. And so I got my billfold out, and I gave them a dollar. And oh, they were so, oh, thank you. And I'm just standing there, and all of a sudden this teenage girl, I don't know, 16, 17 years old, comes up and hugs me. You know the first thing I did when I got home? I told my wife. Can you imagine what would happen to my wife if somebody from the church had seen that and called and said, hey, just want to let you know I saw your husband being hugged by a teenage girl in Lifeway. Huh? Loyalty. Loyalty. Let me give you the last one. And that is, we've already talked about 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Boy, I like this one. Proverbs 31. We talk about the woman there in Proverbs 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Listen. And her husband also, and he praiseth her. The last one is esteem. Esteem. Years ago, I went to a librarian wedding. It was Priscilla's daughter, I think it was V, when she got married. And really a unique wedding. And one of the things they did was they had the woman up there and the man up there, and he said, she is to be your queen, and, you know, you're to treat her like this and all this stuff. And everybody said, yes, amen, I don't want to go. And then they said to her, and he is to be your king. And all the ladies laughed. Ah! And I thought, what in the world? But you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Men, do you treat your wife like a queen? I'm really working hard at this door opening thing. I'm really working. I really am. If you see me and I don't do it, just smack me upside the head. But every time I get in the car with my wife, my goal is to open the car door for her and to show that she is special and that I care for her. And I want to treat her. I want to speak well of her. When she comes home and I'm taking a nap and she gets home with the groceries, I want to get off the couch and go and help unload the groceries out of the car. I want to. Why? Because she's the most important woman to me in my life. And I want her to know it. I want to honor her. Publicly, never criticize your wife. Hallelujah. Don't get on Facebook and talk about your wife being a nag. Goodness gracious. Some people have no wisdom at all. And they put things on Facebook that no one should know. When you're apart, tell her how much you miss her. Really. And it's not like the old country western song, I still miss you, but my aim's getting better. It's not that one. Okay? Somebody will get that tomorrow. Esteem. Do you do that? Do you honor your wife? Do you honor that? Now, men, there you go. I'm done. Let's move on to the women, okay? That part wasn't too bad because I was preaching to myself. Let me give you five things. Now, women, in this book, he used the word chairs. Why would he use the word chairs describing how a wife is to treat her husband? Because you need to hit him over the head with one? Is that no? the chair is the guy who's in the driver's chair, the driver's seat. He didn't use seat. He had too many words here. But some things you need to understand about your husband. Number one is the matter of conquest. And I never really thought about this until I read this book. But what did God make men to do? Now, some of you women are going to say, boy, preach it here, brother. He needs to hear it. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. What did God make man to do? To work. When I go on vacation to Florida, there's things that their house needs, and I just can't help myself. And usually I wait till right before we go to the airport, and my wife says, why are you doing this now? Couldn't you have done this yesterday? But I want to accomplish something. I want to get something. Let me ask you, when you men meet somebody new, another man, and you've never met them before, what's one of the first questions you ask them? What, isn't that right? What kind of work do you do? Because that's what is important to us as men, our work. Now, I know it can be too important, and we can sacrifice our time in the home, and I battle that all the time. But when was the last time you just said to your husband, boy, I thank you for working. I thank you for going out there and working every day. When was the last time you showed appreciation for what he does? And I really believe in you. You are, man, you are the man. What you say, well, I'll never tell. Why not? Do you not appreciate it? Conquest. Men, we've got to go in and we've got to do something. We've got to work. We've got to get it done. And that gives us really, I hope you won't mind this, Anthony. I should have asked you. But he is in the middle of a job change. And I guarantee you, when you left that job, which you'd had 15 years, of course, that's huge, number one. But that was a blow, wasn't it? I mean, financially, obviously. But because, man, I mean, what we do is kind of what we are, you know. And if we don't have anything to do, we ain't nothing, okay? Work is really important. Work is crucial. Conquest. Secondly, here's a nice word, hierarchy. Hierarchy, okay? Got that? H-I-E-R-A-R-C-H-Y, hierarchy. Let me give you the verse, Ephesians 2, 5:23. For the husband is the what? Head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. There's not a single woman in here that would argue with me about Christ being the head of the church. Well, of course he is. It's his body. He died for the church. I mean, he is the head of the church, undoubtedly. And he's saying in this passage, the man, the husband, is to be the head of the home like Christ was the head of the church. Now, by the way, there's a right there. There's also responsibility, isn't there? Christ is the head of the church. And as part of that, he is the savior, the protector of the body. And as a husband, yes, I'm the head of the home. One woman said, I want my husband to be the head of the home as long as he does what I want him to do. Well, that kind of misses the whole point. God has set up a hierarchy in the home, and he's saying, look, just like Christ is the head of the church, the husband is to be the head. He has that right. He also has a responsibility in the home. And that leads to the next one, the third one, and that is authority. You're still in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 21. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. I want you to notice that word submit. Wives, now, by the way, verse 21, who is that to? Who? I heard some words, but I'm not sure what you said. Verse 21 is to whom? It's from God to whom? Husbands and wives, thank you. I don't know who said that, but that's to everybody. Darren, I think, said that. Good. That's to everybody. Now he goes on and he says, wives, you show that submission by submitting yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and he is Christ, head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. He said, I want you to be submission. Now, this word means to rank under or to place under. It's the word hupo, tasso, to place under. And when you are submissive to your husband, you are placing him, yourself, under his authority. Okay? Now, why is this? Why is this supposed to happen? By the way, why are you supposed to have the husband as the head of a home? How many of you know homes that have two heads? How long do those homes last? Can't have it. When push comes to shove, you can only have one head. And in that, he said there's authority. Now, by the way, it tells the wife to submit to the husband. Why? Because he's smarter? I'm not going to ask you, women, how many of you are smarter than your husbands? Okay, I'm not going to. We'd have to have all kinds of marriage counseling after that. Not necessarily. There are undoubtedly women who are smarter than their husbands. And don't say amen, women. Be careful. It's not that. Is it because he's stronger? Well, in most cases, he probably is physically stronger. Not always. No. Why? Because God said so. You say, well, I don't like that. This is what God said, folks. This is how God said to do it. So, very quickly, we see conquest, hierarchy, authority. Let me move on. I've got two more pages and I've got 5 minutes. This is a difficult one, to be honest with you and I. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. The setting here is the church. There's no doubt about that. You know, 1 Timothy was written so that the church would be in proper order. 1 Timothy 2:12, and he says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man to be in silence." So this is a public setting, obviously. It's also true we've seen in the home. Why? For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Well, there's one reason. God made Adam first. Okay? Here's another one. "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived in the transgression." What is he talking about? He's talking about the fall, isn't he? Who was deceived? Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Now, I'm treading very lightly here because I can see some of you, the smoke is already rising. But what he's saying is, look, and by the way, I haven't given the word is insight. Insight. And he's talking about the man being an authority because she was deceived. Now, Adam was not deceived. He was disobedient. Now, we don't know how all that happened. Did he say, "Oh, I love my wife so much, I'm going to go ahead and eat too"? Or did she talk him into doing it? We have no idea. The Bible doesn't say. And I'm not going to even try to answer that one because I don't know. But the Bible just tells us, you know, hey, simple matter of fact is, men typically are much more analytical than women are, typically. It's not always the case. And men typically want to fix things too. This kind of goes back to that conquest thing. And you ask a man, okay, what's the situation here? And he's going to sit down, he's going to analyze it, he's going to fix it for you, he's going to take care of it. Well, you may not want it fixed. You may just want to talk about it. But that's what men do. We fix things, see? It's part of it. And listen to your husband's insight. You say, "Well, I'm a whole lot smarter than he is." Well, that may be the case. But God has put husbands in a special position. And I would just encourage you, ladies, listen to what he has to say. Don't cut him off. Let him finish. You never know. It might help. And don't be shocked, but it might. It might help. Let me go on to the last two real quickly. Relationship. Relationship is number 5. And it says in Titus 2:4 that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands. You say, "Wait a minute, Seaman, I thought you said women were not commanded to love their husband." They are here, but you know what's interesting? It's not the word agape. It's not that self-sacrificial love. It is the word for phileo, or friendship. He said in the book, he said, you can ask a lot of husbands, "Does your wife love you?" And they'll say yes. And they say, "Does your wife like you?" And they'll say, "Well, I'm not sure." Part of that is because, again, the major difference between men, I'm going to hurry here, and men and women, but they did a study with 2nd grade, 6th grade, 10th grade, and 25-year-olds, and they put two girls or women in a room with two chairs sitting like this. Okay? I kind of already illustrated this a little bit. And they put these two women in the chairs, and they said, "Okay, sit there and you can talk if you want to." Every one of them, you know what they did? And they talked. They did the same thing with men. You know what the men did? That's just how we are. Yes, sir. Oh, no. Okay. We will pray for you, Tom. His mother-in-law just passed away. And so we'll pray for her in just a moment here. But again, it helps us to see how we're different. One woman, and I know we have a deer-hunting wife out here, but one woman decided she didn't go deer hunting with her husband. And they went out and they got in the tree stand. They sat there all day. They never saw a deer, never said a word, never shot a gun. And they got done. They're walking out. And he said, man, that was awesome. Why? Because that's how men are. Just be with them. Just be near them. He said, my husband won't talk to me. Well, just go sit down by him. And after a while, he's going to say, what do you want? Just be with him. Just be near him. Let me give you the last one very quickly. And it is sexuality. And I'm not Dave Young. My face is probably already red. I just don't have real ease talking about these kinds of things. But the simple matter of fact is, in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul said it's better for a man to remain unmarried, but if they can't, they should marry, because it's better for them to marry than to burn. And he's talking about that sexual desire that men have. And women, if you don't know it by now, you never will, but they do. And if you don't satisfy it, somebody else will. And I would encourage you, women, never say, well, look, he didn't do this and this, so I'm gonna withhold that. Oh, you're headed for trouble. You're headed for trouble. All right. We're done with marriage, okay? Hallelujah. I just enjoy opening the Word of God and teaching it. I really do. Well, I hope it'll be a help to you. Hope you'll work on it. Take that list home. Men, go through it and say, am I doing these things for my wife? Women, say, am I doing these things for my husband? Boy, we don't want to have another single divorce at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We want people who love each other together, who have strong marriages, and that's what God wants for you too. Okay? Lord, we do thank you for this day and for your word. Do pray for Tom and Kathy now, that you would encourage their hearts at the passing of her mother. Lord, we just pray you'd help them and minister to them now, we pray. Bless in the service to follow, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.